Ask the Podcast Coach for April 4th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, there it is. We were still brushing off the snow in Cleveland, Ohio this morning. Yay! Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. If you want to call in, that number is 347-850-8007. And you can join us all, the chat room, the whole nine yards, over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and joining me over there is the one and only Jim Cullison. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Always good to be on Ask the Podcast Coach after a week off.
So yeah,
welcome,
nice to
welcome
be.
Welcome back, everybody.
Nice to be back. I know I missed it last week, and if you didn't hear it, it was funny because I had to. I teach people technology, and a client insisted that we do classes on the weekend. Man, that's a bad idea because not only does the teacher not want to be there, man, the students were just not. It was a rough gig.
Not motivated to be there on a Saturday morning, huh?
Yeah.
That's a tough gig to do them on Saturdays. I can't, you know.
Oh, the best. It's worth it, but. The best was it was Saturday and Sunday. Oh. So the Saturday crew was okay. Sunday was like, hey, just say what you got to say, and then we're out of here. I'm like, okay. That's always fun.
Disengaged. So you could pretty much say anything. And if you're the best guy, if you say, hey, we're going to wrap this up an hour early type deal, yeah. You know, then they love you.
Yeah. I'll explain. Here's how we can get through the class smoothly. And they just, okay, good. So
do whatever you want. You bet.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing up front. There's things have changed a smidge at the New Media Expo. If you are interested, if you're going to be there and you want to broadcast live, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastalley. We actually have spots open, it turns out. Because everybody's like, what's the schedule? What's the schedule? And things keep changing behind the scene that make it impossible to make a schedule. So if you're interested in that, I'm still waiting for some insights from Rick and the gang. But I know at this point they're like, we could use some more people. And I'm like, oh, okay. So as much as we said the deadline was a while ago, now we're saying, no, it's not. So if you're going to be there, and from what I understand, you know, they're going to have a stage there for you to be on and some other speakers so people can actually hear you. So where it's at, what it's going to look like, that's I'll find out when you find out.
Be flexible, right, is what you're saying. Yeah. Be flexible on. You know, there's, when you're doing conferences like this, you can be one of two ways. You can be crowd-friendly or you can be speaker-friendly, but you can't be both. Yeah. And if you're crowd-friendly, you lock your speakers in early and you never let them out, right? You're like, hey, no, this is your spot. You're sticking to it. You penalize them. That's not great because then your speakers will never come back to your conference again, right? If you're crowd-friendly, I mean, if you're speaker-friendly, then you jack the crowd around because you're constantly changing things around for the speakers.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. Doing these things is hard. It looks like we have a call.
We do have a call. And Blog Talk Radio has changed. They haven't changed their interface a lot, but they changed the color scheme. Like now they're like pretty and pink and aqua. It's like, wow. Pink. That's, yeah, it's
wow,
exciting.
Nicely
so
done, Blog Talk Radio.
So ending in 9118, you're on with Dave and Jim. What's your name and what's your question?
In the morning, Dave. This is Fred Castaneda. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. How are you, buddy?
We're pretty good. Happy Easter. The Easter egg hunt in our neighborhood is on right now.
Oh, there you go. That's good to hear.
I have one question that happens to be with Ringer. I've been trying to, I got it and tried to use it, and had a guy over in Wisconsin that I was trying to connect with, and we got the same type of error, which was whoever initiated the call, first I tried it, then he tried it. We initiated the call, and it looked like both of them were waiting for the organizer to begin the conversation, and there was nothing else that you could do. Did you run into that when you tested Ringer with, I think it was Rob Walsh, didn't you?
Yeah.
And did you ever encounter any of those types of connection errors where it's waiting for the organizer and the organizer is waiting for the other guy?
Yeah, you almost need to pick one person to be the organizer and one person not to be because, yeah, depending on who hits send first, like I could join, I'm not sure how it works, but basically have two people in two meetings with nobody showing up at the other person. Because I know we did the same thing and I finally said, Rob, hold on. I'll look for yours. You call me and I won't send you because you get confused as who's on first. I haven't used it a whole lot. I think I've used it twice and it was okay. But yeah, it is a little weird because when it does connect, it's super easy. It's like, okay, you're live, and they click a button, and it's live, and you're off and running. But it is a little confusing in that aspect, at least when I did it. And that's when we went. So we just said.
You have that same error a couple of times where it's waiting for both parties to connect.
Yeah.
And it gets confused as to who's the organizer, right?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've done that, but yeah, it was something of it. I just remember we're both sitting there waiting for the other person.
Oh, how did you finally clear it up? You just sent a new invitation?
Yeah, via email. I quit mine. He quit his. And I said, you know, cancel whatever you're in. I canceled mine. You send me a request or whatever it is, and I'll sit here and wait. And that worked perfect. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Connects.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it worked.
All right, well, keep trying. Do you know if it's documented anywhere in any of the sites or in FAQ or anything like that?
I haven't been to their site in a while. Of course, that's ringr.us. I know they're I forget the guy's name, Tim. You know, if you ask him a question.
Sinclair. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing on their website. Just
Tim Sinclair is the CEO and said, contact him if there's any problems. But I wanted to see if you had encountered that same problem when you tried to contact Rob.
Yeah, I just remember we did have something very similar, and we both quit where we're in. I said, you do it, I'll wait. And once we did that, it was cool. So
maybe something is just to use a different email address and start from scratch so that you're not using the same email addresses for the invitation from one party to the other.
Yeah.
It wasn't iPhone to iPhone. It was iPhone to iPad. I don't know if that makes a difference.
That's a good question. I don't think it should, but...
Well, yeah. That's a question for Tim to say, hey, if you're on the receiving end, you got an iPad, is there a problem with the connection just because it's an iPad as opposed to the iPhone? Shouldn't be, but, you know, that word should is what always gets us into trouble as tech guys.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, have a happy Easter, and I guess
too.
We'll see you at NMX. And, you know, I expect to see the Podcast Alley schedule there on Monday, the 13th.
That's probably when it'll show up. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, see you there. Bye-bye.
See you, Fred. You know, Dave, Zoom would be in a perfect position to compete with Ringer from an audio standpoint. And I think maybe even do it a little better. You know, when you start a call on Zoom, whoever is the organizer of the call, when you're done, you get a artifact, a video and an audio only artifact, a file on your local computer that you could then pull off. It's a recording of that conversation. What would be awesome, you have to install the Zoom plugin on both sides mm-hmm. of the equation. And so what would be awesome is if they also provided a double ender or a your feed only audio that would then all they would have to do is as soon as it's done rendering is upload that to their servers and you could go in and grab those. That would be, they would be in an ideal situation to do that. So if you haven't tried out Zoom yet, if you're a podcaster and you haven't tried it, the free version, 40 minutes. Why 40? I don't know, but 40 minutes of free video conferencing per call. And so if you're going to do a quick interview, it's going to be 40 minutes or less. You might want to give it a try. It's audio video, but they give you an audio, just a straight audio file when you're done, an MP3 that you could just dump into your podcast.
Yeah. I use Zoom now for, I do what I am now calling them office hours. I do them about once a month at the School of Podcasting where we just have it's almost like a podcaster's round table. That's what I used to call them. Back before there was a podcaster's roundtable. And boy, I love it. It's really cool. I've used it with a couple people. It makes it super easy to share their screen. The only thing that's kind of wacky about it is they do have to download a file. You know, and then it's an .exe file. And I'm like, oh, so I can see.
Well, it's a plugin, right? It's a plugin that, and that file is the functionality. It's the rendering engine, right? So it's what's capturing your video and your audio and then dropping it locally for you. Onto your PC. So you need some functionality to be able to get that done. That's not going to be supported natively in a browser.
Yeah, Dan asks, isn't PodClear exactly that kind of service that Jim's talking about too? Yeah, they're both Ringer and PodClear are, you know, Ringer's got a little head start on PodClear. And I know when PodClear, they rang me up to give me a demo and I couldn't even install the software. And I'm like, I think the cart is a little, and by that I mean a ton, in front of the cart. So it was a little different, but I know they're working on it. I keep getting updates from them, but it's kind of like when you first bought a fax machine, if we go back 40 years or whatever, you know, unless somebody else had a fax machine, you know, there wasn't very, so having PodClear, you need a PodClear buddy now to play with, to,
you're asking your, you know, it's one of two things. It's, you're still asking them to install a plugin, you know, and it's like, why not just have them install Audacity and make the connection and have them record it that way, right? If you're going to have them do that.
John Buchanan in the chat room says, PodClear is kind of like Bigfoot. You hear a lot about it, but no one sees it. Awesome. Well, hey, we do have open phone line. If you feel like calling in, that number is 347-850-8007. Again, 347-850-8007. And I guess I should play the one call I got. It's a you guys ready to do some classic Dave?
Good old, let's do it.
Yeah, some classic Dave here. Let me turn this up. Here we go.
Hi, David. This is Marie McConnell. I have a question for you. It's about the difference between podcasts and Blog Talk Radio. I just ran across you today, and I wanted to find out a little more information. My number is...
Okay, and that's where I cut it out. So... And why this, why I get about a call, 7 to 10 days, somebody's asking me about Blog Talk Radio. I'm like the anti, which is hilarious because today we're using, I'm still beta testing Blog Talk Radio. But originally I said 12 reasons not to use Blog Talk Radio. Well, I said, number one, it's too expensive. Kind of still is. I don't know what their tool is going to be when they roll out their new HD version. If it's going to go up, I doubt it's going to go down. I wasn't real crazy about their web design. They have improved that. I need to go back and revisit that. And of course, they still have really bad audio quality. And that is the truth. Let's see. I'll have to check this one. They list themselves as the title of your podcast, as the username and author. So, and that's one, that's really key now, because in iTunes, let's take a tangent in the middle of our tangent here. In iTunes, I have a show called Podcasting for Free. If you go to iTunes and search podcasting for free, it does not come up anywhere in the search. I was like, holy cow. But if you search Dave Jackson, you'll find it. So that author tag is something that's really getting a lot more juice, I think, than in some cases the title of the podcast. Back then, they took 65% of your advertising revenue. So you paid to be in the advertising game, and then they took 65% of it. You're paying for things you don't use. You do pay for a lot of storage that you don't use. They boast large guests on their website, which in some cases is not really the case. It's actually the guest is from the person doing the podcast. Their chat service is flaky. I need to revisit that one.
It's so a Java plugin too.
Yeah.
Request Java installed.
Yeah. And they do change your file name, which I'm not a big fan of. And I need to, I need to update this on my website. They used to, their terms of service made it look like they owned your show. Well, technically they never did, but, Andy Toe, the guy from Blog Talk Radio, said they have changed their terms and they made them super user friendly. We talked about this, a couple weeks ago. And I said, it's interesting because the terms are very clear, which is nice. It's also very clear that you have to use their RSS feed, which would be reason number 13. Not to use their stuff. So to answer your original question, what's the difference between Blog Talk Radio and a podcast? Blog Talk Radio is simply a tool to make a podcast. Now, the good news is, because I had somebody call today this week and wants to do a live show, wants to do call-ins, and he was asking about Spreaker. I go, love Spreaker. Spreaker's great, and it's super easy, and it's affordable, and you can leave, you can redirect your feed. They're doing everything right over there. And he says, great. And the phone ties in how? And I went, ah, yeah, they don't have a phone. And that's the one thing Blog Talk Radio does have. They have a really nice phone interface, which is why we're using it here. The bad news is you can't leave Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, we'll have to see what their price is when they roll out this new HD version. But it's still not something I told Andy. I go, that thing where you can't leave, because what they do is I asked him, I go, this whole thing, man, where you got to use your RSS feed. And he goes, yeah, I know that's not good. He goes, we're working on that. And, cause right now I've known about 4 people that have asked to have their feed redirected. And, the answer was no. And so then you have to go through this whole thing of begging people to resubscribe, and it's just a hassle. So, you know, it's on one hand, it's super easy. That's the good news. It's easy, but your file will sound awful and you're kind of paying too much. On the other side, you know, you can use something like Spreaker, and there are other, that's actually the next thing I'm going to build at the school of podcasting, a whole thing. In fact, I think Monday's show is going to be, how do I take phone calls on a podcast? Because I get this call a lot.
Yeah. They ask you a lot. I've noticed that. It's one of those things. We it's not easy to do. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I want to do that for my podcast. For all, you know, please don't start your podcast. Don't let show number one be taking phone calls. That's your one. Nobody's going to call. Unless, right. I mean, you've already got an existing podcast. No, nobody's going to call. No matter how much you tweet people, no matter how much you put on Facebook, no matter, it's just not going to happen. So don't start. I don't think that's a great way to start. I mean, maybe there'll be one person out there that can make it happen, but not a great way to start. Bring the phone calls in later. I've actually, you know, I've got 200 and we've did our 208th episode of Home Gadget Geeks. And at 200, I started taking voicemail stuff in. Mm-hmm. Actually long before that, let's say 180, I started asking for it. It's taken till just now for me to get regular contributions, and they're still not very regular, of people leaving voicemail messages. And we've been doing this for 4 years. So sometimes it just, you know, one step at a time, get your podcast going, get some regular content from you, get your voice, catch your audience, get 30 episodes in, make sure it's something you want to do, and then start adding on some of these more difficult things to do. But Dave, I think I hear those too. You get a lot of those questions. So it might be time to start talking about it.
Yeah. The one guy that called, when he says, okay, well, how do I, cause I told him about callinstudio.com. I said, we've used it. It was a little flaky at times. I said, but, you know, for the record, Blog Talk Radio is occasionally a little flaky, but very, very seldom. And we didn't have a whole lot of problem with Colin Studio towards the end. I said, but now you need a mixer. And he was going to have a co-host. I said, every time you add something that's bringing you sound, whether it's a phone or a co-host, I said, you need an auxiliary send for each one of those to send kind of a mix minus to that person. And I said, so when you start talking three people and a phone call, and I'm like, yeah. And they're not in the same room. It's like now that's getting really crazy.
And, you know, I had a conversation this week with actually a listener here and a podcaster friend of mine, Andy Sokolovich. Andy had been, you know, when he jumped into podcasting, he kind of followed our model and he went right with audio and video and used Google Hangouts and had a guest. Not terribly complicated, but the video on, you know, when you add video, it does more than just record video of your guest. It changes the guest a little bit. All of a sudden now they're worried about what they look like and where they're located and they're, you know, and what the camera is. And I mean, it adds complexity for your guest who honestly is not used to being on camera. And so he did, I don't know, I want to say 15 shows on video and he was struggling with a little bit. I said, Andy, let's just take it back to audio only. Let's, you know, my recommendation, go Skype because Skype's got great audio sound. Go audio only. Take that pressure off the guest. Take the timing off because now you're not live anymore. Take the timing off of that and just really focus on getting great interview questions and let your guest relax when you're doing this kind of thing. And so he this week he switched over and I got some feedback from him. He goes, man, that was a ton easier. It was better and the guest was better. And so that might be one of those things. I've done a lot of thinking about that because of the video capabilities, and we're doing video right now, Dave. So it's one of those things that we do just because we can. But if you're in the early stages of it, you might even want to remove the video complexity piece and just kind of be like, hey, let's go back and get some of the basics down. Let's get really good sound. Let's get really good technique. If you just record the audio, you get a really good chance to do some really good edits. Where with video, man, video editing is super hard, right? Unless you're really good at it, but most of us aren't. So that, for me, that was one of those kinds of things, especially in podcast coaching that we do here. You know, a little advice, if you're struggling a little bit, maybe take a few steps back and make some things simpler. And removing the video does amazing things to your quality. So
yeah,
that might be worth considering.
I think if somebody really wanted to do something live, I would start off with Spreaker and a chat. Even the Spreaker chat room wasn't horrible, you know, or
and the Mixlr chat room's pretty good. That's not a bad.
Yeah, I like Mixlr
that's
too.
That's not a bad. You know, it's not a bad way to go. Go Mixlr. Don't save them. Don't make them available in the show reels when you're done. Just make the live, record it like you normally would. But take little steps into it. I mean, when we started four years ago, when we started doing this, It was audio only, no live, no chat room. We got together at the same time every night to record, but did not have a live anything. And we, you know, we did that for 6 months and then added in live audio and then 6 months and added a live video. So it, just take it some steps. Get good at it before you try and jump off the cliff.
Well, that's what we did here. I mean, originally, if we think about it, it started off with me. And I think I might have been using Mixler. I don't remember exactly what I started off with.
You caught me on Spreaker. That was
Spreaker,
because
okay.
You were going live and I got notified. I'd followed you on Spreaker and you went live and it notified me via email. I was sitting down at my desk and I'm like, oh, hey, Dave Jackson's live. I wonder what he's doing. Yeah. And so I was just listening to you, right? And you said, hey, why don't you come on in?
Yeah. And so then I went from
the podcast.
Yeah. So I went from solo to having a co-host. From there, we went to Google Hangouts, but you couldn't see us. But we could see each other, and we were trying to, I think we tried to take phone calls with Uber conference, and that was a disaster because they kept making weird noises in the middle of the show. And then we went from there to call in studio, and then from there we went to Google Hangouts on Air Live. So we just kept baby stepping it in, and so now we're broadcast, and soon to I keep sniffing going back and playing with streaming stuff, like I have schoolofpodcasting.fm. I keep going back and just to seem like, well, there are people that listen over there, not a lot, but there's some really cool automated software that you could use. And if I wanted to, I could actually send this out over that stream. But that again adds another level of complexity. It's like, okay, now what is it listening to?
It does. We added a level of complexity this week on Home Gadget Geek. So I brought on a new guest host who already has his own podcast. Already has his own podcast, and he had a relationship with WLMN radio in West Virginia. And so it's a terrestrial radio station. And so he had been streaming. He streams live on his show nights, and then they record it, upload it, and play it in the morning drive throughout the week on this radio station. And so I kind of inherited, when I brought him on, I kind of inherited the radio relationship as well. So Thursday night on our podcast, we're not only live on Spreaker and on Mixler and on YouTube, but we also were broadcasting live on a terrestrial radio station in West Virginia, which I thought was really unique that it's come full circle. here we are on the internet, and the last thing we did was put it on terrestrial radio. So, no, I haven't heard back from the listeners. It's not like the phones were all of a sudden flooded with callers. I love your show. But it was an interesting setup to be able to go, to play on terrestrial radio. Mike says, Mike Wieger, our guest host that does that with us, he's got his podcast is called Open Mic Night, which is pretty cool. Apple focused podcast. He says from time to time he will get a call from somebody local who will in that region and will call in. So an interesting add-on for us this week with the podcast.
Yeah, Dan in the chat room, I'm trying to remember the URL of this. Asked, what am I using for my streaming? I actually have two. One, the original school of podcasting.fm, I think is using this. Listen, the number two, myradio.com. And then I've been playing with a company that's free. That is like $12 a month. It's next to nothing. And then I've been, playing with Radiotomy. They were going to be a sponsor at New Media Expo. And the beauty of it, it's free. The beauty of it is if you want to play unlicensed music, you can. It's really big in Europe, I guess. They're kind of trying to come over here, and they're really trying to make it podcast friendly. They're not, admittedly, they are not ready for prime time yet, hence why they're not sponsoring New Media Expo, because their system right now crossfades everything automatically, which is great. So I have stuff there. And I'll be in the middle of ending my segment, and all of a sudden the next segment will fade in, and you can kind of go in and manually override it. But I said, look, you guys need a button that says stop crossfades. And so the person I'm working with is looking on that. But the thought there is that if you get, I forget how many callers you need, or not callers, listeners enough. Here's why it's free. Twice an hour. They will put a quick 30-second spot. And so if you get enough listeners, you actually start earning revenue from that. So their whole thing is it's free and you earn money, but you need a decent amount of hours. And so I've been playing with it, and I it was funny because I actually called the person. I said, I think I'm going to pull the plug on this, because every time I listen to this, something happens that I don't feel I have a whole lot of control over. And she's like, well, I said, it keeps fading out. I don't want it to fade out. And she showed me how to manually do it. I'm like, I'm not going to, it's like every time I upload a file, I have to go through 37 mm-hmm. hoops. And so, it's pretty cool, but again, not ready for prime time.
Well, and it adds another level of complexity. Like
yeah.
Starting your own streaming service. We've seen Cyber Frontiers, one of our other podcasts. They scrape our RSS feed and pull anything new. And he's got a playlist set up, and it's just streaming audio around security podcasts, which is a cool idea, right? Mm-hmm. He's crowdsourcing his stream, and they just play one after the other. There's no kind of programming time. And it's all commercial free. So kind of a cool idea too, if you could gather some, put your podcast plus other, this is in the spirit of co-opetition, right? Get other podcasters in, and you could kind of create your own streaming, streaming place on the web. I don't know how popular streaming is when we think about that 24/7 over and over again.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the people at Radiotomy are like, you know, iTunes Radio, and I'm on all of those. You know, I'm on iTunes Radio, I'm on, and that's the other thing. And then you have to pick what format. Am I going to be 64? Am I going to be 128? Because some stations won't take a 64, some stations won't take a 68. Kind of depends on what the deal is. So I went 64 mono because all my stuff is talk. And, in the end, I think I get, it's no great giant numbers. I don't do anything to promote it. So that's kind of the one thing to think about. But I don't get a whole lot of info.
Dave, that worth it question, Stargate Pioneer is asking in chat. He says, I'm streaming via Mixlr, but I'm considering adding Spreaker, but I need to increase it to $20 a month. And that's for most podcasters, really, that free plan is not going to get you very far.
Right.
And so that's the $20 plan is the next step up. Is it worth it? Man, that's I don't think anyone but you can answer that question, right? Is it worth it? Well, I don't know. Is it worth it to you? We had a situation this week where Chatwing just announced they sent everybody an email. If you've been using Chatwing, hey, by the way, if you're using any of our premium services, your cost now went from whatever you were paying, in my case, $1 a month, to $20 a month. 20x increase, Dave, on pricing. Now, $1 to 20 in the scope of money is not that big of a deal, but it's a gigantic percentage increase when you think about what I went to. They could have handled it really bad. I mean, they handled this very, very poorly. There's a lot of things they could have done for us to say, hey, you've got 3 months to make a decision, or hey, we're going to grandfather you in, or hey, we're going to give you some warning. No warning, no, at least not that I was aware of. Just all of a sudden, boom, they went from an old pricing model, which was like using coins. You could buy, and each service would cost, a coin or something like that. They went from that to just a straight, they have free plans and they have $20 plans, and you get free or everything. And it's just, it left a bad taste in my mouth, Dave. I'll be honest. All right, I'm out. I love Chatwing. I went from loving them to I'm out.
Yeah, I was really surprised that the coin system had so many different options. You could pay for this, you could pay for that. And I was actually thinking of coming back because I've been using the free service, and I thought, you know what? It would be kind of cool to have my logo there. And it's like, whatever, $2 a month. I'm like, you know what? $2. Okay. And I was actually thinking about when I got that email, and I'm like, okay, well, I'd pay probably $10 a month, maybe tops for depending on what I get. And I look at it, I'm like, $20. I'm like, and then there's no options. It's like none or.
Well, but let me be clear. Their free service is still really good.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so if you're going to go with free and Chatwing, don't get me wrong. What's holding me up right now is my site is encrypted. So I need a chat service that works with SSL. And so that cost me an extra dollar to do that with them before. And that's only available in their paid $20 service. 99.9% of all podcasters have not put certificates on their website, right. But I have this crazy webmaster that helps me out. And he wanted to do some stuff where we took it to HTTPS, right? We made the site secure. It actually helped with our Google SEO, but that, and it wasn't terribly expensive, about $30 for 5 years to buy the certificate. But that aside, I had that requirement. So if you're an average podcaster and you're thinking about using Chatwing, don't take this as, they got a terrible service. They've got a great free service. Right. I mean, they have more customizations in their dashboard than anybody I've seen. You can do a ton of stuff with it. just add your own custom loco to, you know, to do some of those things are going to require. And for me, all I was paying for was SSL integration. And that's what went to $20. So don't take me wrong. I may still use them. It was just one of those moments where I went, oh, shoot, they really missed a great opportunity. Yeah. I was their customer for life. You know, it's like, oh, these guys are great. Oh, thanks for charging me 20 times what you charged me the last time. It was just a bad deal.
Yeah, you would think they'd have some sort of tiered plan, you know, for this, it's this, you know, maybe they'd want to complicate it. But on the other hand,
I think that was it, right? They wanted to simplify it. Daniel in chat was is saying he was paying $10 a month for two chat rooms. Now he has to pay 40, right? So that's a 4X. And Mike Howard is saying he was paying 5 for all the options that he picked, and now he'll go to 20. So it's unfortunate, Chatwing. I mean, they're not listening, but it was just unfortunate that they didn't. And Dave, the worst part was, and this is a good lesson for us as podcasters in the way we make changes to our programs and to our sites or things like that. All they really needed to do was give me a little bit of warning, right? Send me an email 3 months ahead of time. Hey, 3 months ago, I should have got it. We're thinking about changing our pricing structure. This may affect you. We want to get your feedback. Well, then all of a sudden, I feel like I was empowered. Instead of just getting that email one day that says, by the way, you're screwed. Enjoy.
Yeah. And yep. Everybody in the chat room is like, I'm going from $5 to zero. Yeah, everybody's going. And you think the thing I'm really surprised about, unless they just had a ton, because I said I'm not a big fan of the coin system. I told them that before. I'm like, it seems kind of confusing. And I feel like
it was,
you know, and I'm like, so on one hand, kudos for losing the coin system, you know, but they should have asked like, well, what would you be willing to pay? Because they're going to end up with, you know, it's like you said, they lost their buck, you know? So I would be interested to see if they don't backpedal in a couple months to say, hey, we listened. Now we have these plans as well. So,
well, and Dan Kramer is saying, you know, he likes your system, but it's not worth that kind of money. I don't think it's worth $20 unless you're doing this for business. You know, right. If I got in a situation with Gallup where I needed the $20 version. Now here's the flip side of it. We're using the free version of Gallup. So on the enterprise side, I'm using the free version and it works perfectly right. for us there. It was on my hobby side that I needed the actual. and so that's crazy, right? That's when worlds collide. What I'm going to probably do is set up a new site, a standalone site that's not encrypted. And this may be an opportunity for me to rebrand my live page. Today, you go to theaverageguy.tv/live. Maybe I can buy a domain that's easier to remember, something like my buddy Dave McCabe over at homeservershow.com has golivenow.com, right, which is kind of cool. That would be a cool, you know, rebrand that. I'll still point theaverageguy.tv/live over to the site, but then it will just be the live stuff. It won't be encrypted, and I can still use the Chatwing service in it to make it work. So that may be a solution for me where I just spin up another site. I could do that on Azure for free, so it would be pretty easy to do.
There you go. Awesome. Hey, regular chat attendee, Addie Sosito, she's got a new website. We were talking about this on the Podcasters Roundtable. It is podcastersunite.directory. And it's if you're looking for meetups and let me make sure, podcastersunite.directory, which I didn't even know there was a .directory kind of extension. I thought that was kind of interesting. And apparently I can't type my way out of a paper bag this morning. Let's see here if I can type it right. But if you're looking for meetups, yep, here, let me do the old screen share. It's pretty cool. Oh, and there's a Podcasters Unite. Now she has episodes on here. That's interesting.
Addie's doing a great job with that.
Yeah, really cool. She's got resources here. There are events. And what's kind of cool is on the events, you can go and say, look, I want to see, like if I said, what's going on in Ohio, you know. There's
we have a Omaha podcasters meetup going on Monday night. Yeah, so I didn't get that over. I didn't get that over to her in time, but
there you go.
Oh, maybe I did.
Yeah, I'm going to say
there it is.
So
nice job, Addie. Way to read my mind.
That's right. If you're looking for conferences, all sorts that's of awesome. Cool stuff.
That's awesome.
So that is podcasters.
She's the real deal, man. Yeah. She is the real deal.
Yeah. So very cool stuff. Podcastersunite.directory.com. And of course, I know Daniel's in the chat room. Podcastingplaces.com is Daniel's directory of all sorts of fun stuff. And I, nope, that's not it. Podcast Places.
He'll put it in there in a second.
Just I know. You've got to wait for the delay.
For the video to catch up.
Podcastplaces.com. And then last but not least, schoolofpodcasting.com/links, I believe, will take you to my cute little resources section. Yep. So there we go. All sorts of places to yeah. play with toys.
Somebody needs a directory for these directories. It's becoming this big pyramid of top level yeah. and then pushing your way down.
While I'm screen sharing, I know Dan had asked about, is it worth it? This is actually the back end of the School of Podcasting.fm. So you can see I'm getting like five, six people a day. Let's see, from all sorts of countries, Thailand, Iran, Germany, Poland, Brazil, which is completely different from podcast listening. Let's see, user agents on their website, Winamp, Apple iTunes, Stage Fright, whatever that is. And then I'm going to say, let's see what the average listen time is. I bet this is dismal. Most of them, yeah, 0 to 30 seconds. Nice. So they tune in and go, yeah, this isn't for me. 30 seconds to 2 minutes. So I'm not getting a lot of long listeners here. But I'm trying to make it now, like if you call in at, he said, looking for the music bed, at 347-850-8007. I've been taking just calls and cutting them out of the show and putting them in so it's a little more quick segments and things like that. But
that's a good idea. And then you can index those questions.
Yeah. And then you basically, what I do is I set up different intervals. I have, here's more podcast money in the podcast review show. Then I have some basic podcasting 101. And you can go in here and, oh man, yeah. So I can say, hey, play this playlist every 7 songs. So it's just randomly generating this all the time. Or I could say, play this whole playlist. It's pretty cool. This is all, it's called CentovaCast, which is behind the scenes of listentomyradio.com. And I liked it because it was just automatic. And I just basically upload stuff. The only thing for me is for most of my stuff I do now, I save a version in a WAV format, the whole thing. Like I will export my file as a WAV file. And that way I can go in and convert it to 128 for radionomy. I can convert it to 64 for my other thing. So, but it's interesting. It's people do. I can see where people click. It's like you see there. It's like, okay, they're not staying very long though, which isn't that great. But
well, no, I mean that's kind of what you're looking for. There's a new service out there too called Clamr. It's spelled Clammr. They're iPhone only at this point. I'm sure they'll come out with an Android app here, and you can go to Clamr.com or go to publisher.clamr.com for your, if you want to get in there, sign up on the iPhone, and then you get access to the publisher site. But they had this unique idea where you upload 18 seconds. Again, why 18? I do not know. I need to
not
get
19,
these,
not 17.
I need to get these guys. I need to interview them on my show, but 18 seconds worth of audio. And the idea is on your phone, you would go to Clamr and hit a category like podcasting or tech or home arts or whatever. Right. And you would just listen through these 18 second clips until you find something that's interesting. And then you hit the screen and it will take you to the full show, which is kind of an interesting, we talk about directories. You're saying most people are only listening to less than 30 seconds. Anyways, that's what they're doing, right? They're trying to get an idea of, hey, is this worth listening to? Which is kind of scary. It means the first 30 seconds of your podcast is the most important, right? It's one of those, it's one of those kind of things. And that's got me thinking a lot about my first 30 seconds. I'm, am I giving them enough to stay around? But so very, very interesting. They're in very much Clamr is in very much a beta state. They reached out to me personally. I jumped on. They said, oh, hey, we see your podcaster. We'd love to feature you in our podcast section.
Nice.
I said, oh, that'd be awesome. So they did that. And then I've been going back and forth with Emily, who's who's been, I think, assigned to me personally, because she sends me an email every day, which is awesome, right? Great customer service. And she's been taking my feedback for their site. No stats yet. No, I mean, it's so early. It's in its early stages. Clammr, C-L-A-M-M-R, because we don't use vowels anymore. And give that a look. If you want to jump in on something early and you're interested in some kind, an interesting kind of ADD type or ADHD type of application, where if you only got 18 seconds to burn on something, you could burn it on these. Fairly interesting, I found, and it might be another place for you to promote your podcast.
Yeah, it's I was playing with this. I'll go ahead and put this on the screen. This is Rode Record LE, and the difference between this and like Auphonic is you can actually go in and adjust your volume, and then it's hilarious because when I hit stop, I can actually go in. If I bought the app, and here's the thing, it's hilarious. I think the app's like $5.99. And like now it's like $5.99 for an app. It's like, boy, I'm not sure about that. But it's got some, from what I understand, I'm probably going to buy the app today just to play with it. And then I might take the camera kit and Audio-Technica and use this as my recorder at the New Media Expo, because you can upload it right to Dropbox. And once you upload it to Dropbox, you can delete it off your phone. But it's got a lot of Izotope, I-Z-O, however you spell that, which is some of the really cool things in Adobe Audition is actually Izotope plugins. And I understand it has some really cool stuff. So to me, it seems like, you know, to me, I didn't really care for the free version because I'm like, I like my voice memo. The only thing it does is it records as a WAV file. And if you're using the free version, getting it off your phone is quite the pain in the butt. It's amazing because you basically, if you want it, you can flip a switch, it'll give you an IP address, and you type in the IP address, and there's your file, where you can download it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's easy to use. But it's interesting that there are all these new tools coming out. Yeah. And
well, we talked about the Spreaker. I mean, Spreaker in their iPhone now has that app in there as well. That's pretty convenient. You know, when we talk about conference recording or on the fly recording, you run into somebody and you know they might have something good to say, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, let me just record this really quick. Bring up your app, and on most Android or iPhone today, those microphones are pretty good. They're no H5 or the Tascam microphones, but they might be a little bit better for that medium of recording anyways. Do a quick recording, hold it, go back and forth, and then you've got your podcast interview. So I think there's some great ways to do it now.
Yeah. Miss Eileen in the chat room says the Rode app is not available for Android. And Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast says he loves it because, yeah, you have to, if you're going to upload to Dropbox, you have to shell out whatever it is. And I just thought it was funny because I was like, oh, man, $5.99 drinking my Starbucks, right? I'm like, that's, you know, I don't know if I can afford that or whatever. It's impressive.
Funny, these apps used to cost $30 and $40 and we shelled it out. And
that's me. It's like, I need to upgrade to the latest version of Sony Music Studio. So I can do, I think they came out with a new version. I think I have version 9, they have version 10. And somebody was asking about how to use this to do your podcast. And I have some tutorials at the School of Podcasting on that. And I'm like, wait, I need to upgrade. You know, if I'm going to, you know, update the tutorials, I might as well update the software. And it's like, it's not super, it's like $20-$30, something like that. So it's kind of funny that, you know, we used to spend that kind of money for an actual piece of software. And just because it's on your phone, it's still software, you know, and it's still had a developer and still had all, it's like $6.
Somebody had to write it. You're back.
And I'm back. Yes, I was just typing in the chat room. I'm still here. All right.
Yeah. Did I freeze up on your side?
Everything froze up on my side. Okay. I was sitting there going, it's like.
Okay. I wonder, because I'm like, oh, he froze up. And I've just learned to just wait it out. It's going to come back, right? You know, it's one of those things. Dave, we were talking about customer service when we were talking about Chatwing. And, you know, so I had two examples this week of how one not to handle it. That's the Chatwing way. Two, how to handle it is the Zapier way. So if you haven't looked at Zapier, when you look at they are a competitor of If This Then That. So if you're into using automated web stuff, home automation stuff. If this, then that is one of those. It says, if this happens, then do this kind of thing. And they tie these services together. It's really, really cool. A company that hasn't gotten as much, as much press as them, but actually does a lot more, and I think that's probably a better business model, is Zapier. We've talked about it here, Zapier.com. I've been using their $15 service, which got me, 2,000 automated tasks and 20 on the schedule. They have more of a monetization option, Dave, I think, which is like what you believe in. If they're not monetizing it in some way, chances are they're not going to stay around very long, right? And these guys are monetizing. You know what I mean. Their platform. And so I was on their 15 plan, and this week I didn't need it. They start dropping some off, and so I downgraded to the free plan. Within 3 minutes, I had a personal email from their CEO, not automated, personal email from their CEO. Well, it probably was automated because that's what they do. But within 3 minutes saying, hey, Jim, I saw you downgraded. I just want to make sure everything was okay. We had, blah, blah, blah. I won't read it to you exactly. But I was like, wow, okay, this is, they're reaching out to me, right, on the downgrade. And so I emailed back and we had a little dialogue and I just explained to him, I can't afford everything. But I thought, wow, what a great way, even as podcasters, when you have listeners and it's important when our listeners reach out to us that we get back to them right away, that we don't let that sit for a long time. But that, when we talk about building engagement, man, if they email you, you better be monitoring that email account that those emails are coming to so you can get back to them right away. I had a listener this week send me a note on April 1st. I didn't get till the 2nd. I missed my opportunity to really engage with them on that conversation.
Do you remember what was the Zapier, like what are their pricing?
It's like $15, 015. Here, I'll look it up really quick just so we...
And I know you're talking about if this and that. A lot of people, like I know Paul Culligan has talked about how he'd like to find a way to get into SoundCloud. But the problem is you have to upload all your stuff manually. And Daniel from the audacitytopodcast.com actually has a video. He has video podcasting tips. And he put out a video. And he actually, I don't know if he wrote it. He wrote the recipe, is that the right terminology, I guess, to where you can, now because it's SoundCloud, it doesn't 100% work. Like you can't get certain things to populate. You do have to go over and do some manual stuff. So if you're doing if you have like more than one, a playlist, I don't think you can add it automatically to a playlist. But Daniel has a video for how to take, I'm assuming it's something from your RSS feed. And it then tags if this, then that, which then uploads it to SoundCloud, which pulls some of your tags. So it's a way to get it automated. It's not, you'll probably still have to tweak it depending on how robust your SoundCloud presence is. I'm actually thinking of just ditching my SoundCloud presence. I get, I don't promote it. I throw it. It takes me all of 15 seconds to upload stuff over there, but. I
keep it around just so I can talk about it. Yeah. Right? I keep 3 shows up there. I have the free version. I delete one, add another, just so I stay. I mean, some of the things I do just so I'm in, so I can see when they change. You stop using them, and then all of a sudden you don't know they've had this upgrade or they've done this or the new pricing is. Zapier pricing, their free plan is free, of course, and then their basic plan is 15. Their business is 50. These are monthly prices. And then their pro business or business plus is $100 a month. So it's, if this and that has no way of, I don't know how they're staying alive. They don't have ads. They don't have anything. Yeah. I don't know what their back end support is to be able to keep that infrastructure up and running. Surprisingly, if this, then that is powered by the Internet of Things. So a lot of these companies like SmartThings and, these automation or these home automation tools are using, they go to if this, then that first. Primarily because it's free, right? But I just don't know in that model how long they're gonna. What if all of a sudden one day they just like, whoop, guys, we're done. We thought this was a cool idea, or they do the, hey, are you gonna pay $10 a month for if this and that?
Yeah.
If they start charging, right? We're gonna lock all your things down. Everybody be pissed. So
yeah, it's. I mean, when I did my research, the average free podcast media host lasts 5 years. All right. Some of them lasted 2, some of them lasted 9. But when I looked over the ones that have gone away, most of them lasted, the average was 5 years. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you look at it and you build up a big audience over the next 4 years, then guess what? They're gone. It's like,
right. Yeah. Right. Well, it just goes to show you, I mean, don't put your eggs all in one basket. So make sure you're well diversified from that standpoint. Not a bad way to get it done. Yeah. Hey, can I talk a little bit about Camel?
Oh yes. I remember you mentioned this.
Sounds like Torah, but it's Camel, CAMEL, three times. Camel.com. And why would I talk about Camel.com? So this is a site that tracks the price history of items at Amazon. So you know how we've always talked about how the ATR 2100 fluctuates in price, or the AT 2005 fluctuates in price? This is actual proof of, they have by item. So go to Amazon, find the item you want, get that Amazon ID. It's like the YouTube ID. It's like an 8-digit, set of characters. Drop it in camel.com. And it will go back and show you the last year, the last 3 months, the last six months, a year, and month, or current, where it's at, the price fluctuations. So if we look at the much overhyped ATR 2100 that we all talk about, that's had a high price of $64.20 and a low price of $34.30. You know, so if you get your math out, carry the one, that's a $30 swing. That's 50% of the price, right? Going up and down in pricing. So waiting on that thing can matter. 2 days ago, I logged in and looked at it. It was $39 again, $39.99. Yesterday when I looked, it was $59.99. Yeah. Today, it's showing it at $48.78.
That's weird, because on mine, it's $59.99.
Yeah, so you got to freaking watch these people at Amazon. Yeah. This is my point, is that, you know, that they came out with this new button that you can push and it just automatically orders stuff for you on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know you're getting the best possible price? You know, they are jacking the prices around all the time at Amazon. So if you're wondering, hey, am I getting the best price? If you're at Amazon and you're wondering, am I getting the best price? Copy and paste that Amazon ID, go to camel. It should be easy to remember, camel.com. Put it in and it will instantly give you a report back on the price fluctuation of that item, and it will tell you if you're getting a good deal or not.
So walk me through this. So this would be this number up here.
I believe so. It's small. So yeah. I believe it's that BV or B004QJ. Yeah.
Okay. So I take that and then I just put it in here and hit paste.
And hit paste and run it, search it. And there you go. There she blows. And then scroll down. I'll tell you the current price. So you see 48.78 as well, right? Up in this is current price, 48.78.
We can see where the current price is $59.99. So, okay. So,
yeah, well, so for you perfect. There, this is the funny part of it, right? And look at that swing in price.
Wow.
Isn't that stupid? I mean, it's awesome for the consumer if you're a savvy consumer. So
is it in Omaha? Is it 48.78?
No, I think this is their last price. Click that buy button in the upper right hand corner. Let's see what that does. Hope I don't screw up.
Okay, there you go.
So what's the price there?
$59.99.
Yeah, so that's the last recorded price. So this thing has been swinging around in price, because it says $59.99 for me right now too.
Ah, and then you can have it email at you.
Yeah. It's like Slick Deals, right? Where you can have it email you
price. Oh man, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's so pretty cool.
Does this as well. Yeah.
Because
I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So now you can say, look, when this thing goes beneath 35, email me.
Yeah.
And tweet me.
If you listened to Home Gadget Geeks, this would have been a tip you would have picked up. I just stole that from my own show.
I'm like,
oh, we got to use this. This was a post show item on Thursday night. I'm like, we got to use this on Ask the Podcast Coach before. Speaking of mics, though, if you're looking for an XLR only mic right now, as of this recording, so this is April 4th, 2015, and you head over to sweetwater.com. Randy Cantrell put this in the chat right before we started this morning. They're selling the Blue Encore ENCORE 100. That's their kind of their base model. It's like an SM58 from Shure. If it compares that, XLR only, so no USB. They're typically $99 each. They're two for $99 right now over at Sweetwater. So if you're looking for some mics you want to take on the road, or you're going to plug into your mixer or something like that, Addie is when I interviewed Addie, so this is her full-time mic that she uses. It's dynamic, so it's what you're looking for from a mic standpoint. You get two for $50 each. Not a bad deal.
Nice. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Awesome. Well, if you want to...
Chris Hardwell was saying in chat, he says, I searched for the same thing in the same session and found two different prices. Amazon's doing some weird stuff. You have to... you just have to... And Devore's asking, what's the best foam cover? The one that's... I think they're like $3. They're not terribly.
Yeah, there's you can't really go too wrong.
You can't go wrong with them. I heard somebody say don't go too thin.
Yeah,
with them. But this was like a $3 foam. It's on my. If you go to my gear page, theaverageguy.tv/gear, that you get that. You can see it there. Don't get an expensive one. And I heard the other on a podcasters in one of the podcast communities. Somebody said you should do both. Well, I don't know.
That's a little overkill.
Yeah. It is a little bit overkill.
Yeah, and stuff like that, if you have a guitar center or music store, I mean, you can get it on Amazon, but,
it's a good way to support the local place.
Yeah.
And just be careful when you go in there. You're going to walk out with stuff in your hands.
Yeah. Yeah, I I had to quit going to music stores for a while because when they invented 90 Day Same as Cash, it became a serious problem.
It's a little, and they'll have some deals and some, you know, they'll do some, like our guitar center does some used stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get in there and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And they've got a selection of all the blue mics that are there, and they're shiny. I mean, there's nothing shinier than a blue mic, right? I mean, it's 99% wrapper. And no, they're good mics. Don't get me wrong. It's probably 75% wrapper and 25% microphone. So it looks good, and there's some cool stuff there.
The other thing that I somewhat announced, and I was looking at it this morning going, so I'm going to prematurely announce this again. I have now turned the website, and the first thing I need to do is fix the logo on the front page. It's like 5 feet tall. If you go to powerofpodcasting.com, you will see where Ask the Podcast Coach is now part of the Power of Podcasting Network, where you can find things like the Podcast Review Show, Podcasting for Free, More Podcast Money, Ask the Podcast Coach, and the School of Podcasting.com. So this is using an elegant theme, which I'm still learning. On one hand, they make really nice themes, but when it gets to, I will say their support is really good, but their support is always add this special CSS to things, and they make it really easy to do, and their solutions work. But there are things. Yeah, so I have nothing in the footer, and I grabbed one of our random comments from a podcast review, which I got from mypodcastreviews.com. So you can see there's a review. Dave and Jim both bring unique perspectives to the world of podcast media tech. Great, huge value is given from both these guys week after week. They both bring greater insight than you would have had before. That's from Brian Balch from Australia back in February, right? So anyway, but yeah, so that's the plan. I'm going to turn that into a little thing. And where'd he go? If you haven't got them yet, you're a little late. You're going to do what I did last year and end up overnighting them. I have new business cards. Ooh, exciting. So, and I'm doing something nice. I normally don't do. I've always said I should do, but I didn't. I put a coupon on my business card. And the only place you can get that coupon is if you have my business card. So I can track, is it worth
that's a good idea.
Sending out business cards?
That's a great idea. Yeah.
But on the back now, we have part of the Power of Podcasting Network. So
that's the official name? Power of Podcasting. That's what you're going with?
I've had that domain forever. I had a show doing that, and I'm going to take that show that used to be called Power of Podcasting and just change it to, because of my podcast, and maybe turn that into a show. I have like 37 million podcast shows I could do. The School of Podcasting will always be my main, thing. And if you're listening to that, there's no reason to go listen to these other ones, because it's usually just the things I do on the School of Podcasting is just that segment kind of thing. So it's a test, like everything else I do. It's like, all right, let's see what happens if I do this. I did sell a podcasting for free course that almost doesn't count, though, because it was the one and only Fred Castaneda. Who will buy anything I put out?
Doesn't Fred know enough at this point? Does he need another course?
I appreciated it. It was like, I'm like, oh, it's Fred. Of course it's Fred. So
yeah, good job,
he's like me. He will consume all things podcasting. So that's always cool. So, hey, with that, I will go ahead and it's 11:30 already.
I know, it goes so fast.
Time flies when you're having fun. So, yeah, as we record this, April 4th, it's Easter Eve, if that's even a thing. And thanks to the chat room.
Yesterday, I called it Big Friday. I don't know why that I said a Good Friday. I was talking to somebody. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm Big Friday. Oh, that's not what it's called.
No, I don't. I never got that whole thing. The Good Friday. Really? Why was it good? Jesus died.
Well, why when we go shopping in November is that called Black Friday?
And yeah.
It's Good Friday. They should switch those.
That's it.
Switch them.
But Jim, where can people find you? It dawned on me when I did our intro. I did not say fromtheaverageguy.tv.
That's where they can find me.
That's it. And what name some of your shows?
So we have Home Gadget Geeks. That's live Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central. We do Cyber Frontiers. And then you can also find me on the Home Server Show and Surface Geeks, which are two other programs that we do on other networks.
Other networks.
Oh, and then the Gallup stuff. I shouldn't forget. I do two podcasts a week for Gallup, coaching.gallup.com.
There we go. Awesome. Well, you can catch us every Saturday. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live. Always love talking to the chat room and the callers. Did we have a call? Yeah, we did. We had Fred.
We had one.
Yeah. So there we go. So everybody prefers to type as opposed to call in.
It's just one of those sleepy. It's one of those sleepy mornings. And I'm on with Devorah. She's going to interview me here right after we're done.
Oh, there you go.
But so I'm going to hang out with her this evening. This
awesome. Morning,
whatever it is, too.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week with another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach. Take care, everybody. We'll be right back.